Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Welcome to another episode of the Princess Joy, the Good Life Podcast with Princess Joy. It's a pleasure to be with you today. And once again, I have an amazing guest this afternoon who is going to be sharing with me important, useful, one-of-a-kind nuggets. You know, this is the Good Life Podcast with Princess Joy, and I bring you everything that will make you live a good life. So today I have a guest, and it will be so awesome for her to introduce herself because I don't think I can do justice to it. So with me is Bumi Ojomo. Bumi, please, can you introduce yourself to my amazing listeners this evening? Over to you.
Princess Joy, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here. And I think you are doing amazingly well. So well done on your program. I've listened to a few editions of it. So please keep it up. It's beautiful. I love what you are doing. And to our guests, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are listening from, whatever time it is at your end. My name is Bumi Ojomo. So I'm a John Maxwell certified trainer, speaker coach. I'm a finance professional, however. So I've had like 3 decades of work experience in finance, largely in FMCG environment. I am a consultant now, independent consultant, and I help organizations as well as individuals have clarity, you know, in terms of the use of their finances, making important financial decisions that would lead to growth. So I support in that process. I'm a wife, I'm a mother. What else can I say about myself? I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a lover of children. So I guess that is it in a nutshell, who I am.
Wow. There are so many wonderful parts about you. Thank you very much for joining us. And we have so many things in common. I'm a finance professional. You are a finance professional, a John Maxwell coach. You are a John Maxwell coach. So this is just a perfect fit.
And yeah.
Out of all these things, so many parts about you, finance, consulting, mother, teacher, what is one fun thing about you that you want my guests to know about? My listeners to know. One fun thing.
Okay. So I think that I'm very good with storytelling, and I think that is fun. And why I say that is when I tell stories, the feedback I get is that I'm passionate about it. I put emotions into it. I put action into it. And I'm able to engage, you know, get my audience engaged in the story. So perhaps that's a fun thing I can share. And maybe that's also what links me to children. You know, I mentioned also that I love children and I teach children a lot as well. So they love stories, you know, and they are engaged when you tell a good story to them. So that's one fun thing I can share. I hope that's fun.
It's fun. It's not easy to put a story together. And, you know, whenever you put a story in any presentation that you're doing, it just connects you with people. So storytelling is actually, I mean, one of the, I would say, the biggest tool anybody who is into presenting, who is into, you know, connecting with people should actually imbibe. Well done. It's fun to know that you love stories. So we are going to be in for a lot of stories today because we're going to be talking about money mindset. And you're going to share a personal story. For me, I would say money mindset. I know that money mindset is how you think about money psychologically. But I will now want you to just share a personal story about what money mindset means to you, because that is the topic for today.
Okay, so if you just permit me to start from my childhood, okay? I thinking back, I don't even remember developing like a saving habit as a little child. You know, and what I mean by that is now you hear stories of people using piggy banks and then, you know, they put little money into it, at least children. I don't remember that part. Maybe I didn't have little money to put or I didn't have a piggy bank. So, but my first experience in terms of, you know, remembering handling money was when I started secondary school and I needed to, you know, get money to take to school for transport. And I remember the first few times the money would get lost. I wasn't used to handling money at all. So I would have to walk all the way home because I couldn't get transport. The money is gone. Okay, mm-hmm. So fast forward to university days. I think I had too little to save because we were always like running on budget. You know, we needed food. University students needed all the money they could get. I wasn't saving. So coming to when I really started handling my own money, let's talk of NYSC and then early working years. So in those times also, I wasn't saving money. However, I was investing in personal development. So I remember that for NYSC, all the monies I was getting, I started paying to what we call the computer school back then, because in university, I never handled a computer and I was always intrigued by a computer. So I enrolled myself and every month when I get my stipends, I would pay them. And then I was doing computer training. So I started working as well and I started my professional training and my MBA. I started paying for those. So I wasn't actually saving. So perhaps that was what gave me a mindset that I had too little to save. I had so much I needed to do with money that I couldn't save at all.
Ooh.
You know, so I didn't have that culture of saving initially. So that was one bad mindset I had, you know, given the background I'd given you. And then the other thing was that I was always loan shy. I felt that loan was always bad. So don't ever pick loan for any purpose. That's a wrong mindset. So loan can be bad when you apply to the wrong things. But of course, there's a way to use loans that it can be positive as well. It took me a very long time to realize that. So if I can pick two mindsets from my growing years, I never had enough to save, even though some of the time I was doing a lot of the right things with my money, but that shouldn't preclude me saving a tiny bit, even at that time. Because if you have a little and saving at all, likelihood is when you have a lot, you still wouldn't save. And the second thing was that I thought loan was absolutely bad.
But, so
those were, you know, the wrong mindset that I had growing up.
Wow. Yeah, there are some mindsets that we really should change. And if we had known better, definitely we wouldn't have those negative mindsets about money. For me, I would say that my first thoughts about money was that at my parents' home, we really didn't have too much, you know, but when we go out, maybe visiting, I had some uncles who used to give us money. I remember my mom telling us to have like a tin, maybe like a can, who put a hole in it and then put money in it. I never knew that that was a piggy bank. But I remember her telling us to save money inside that can with a hole. Then at the end of the year, we open it and then we, you know, accumulate all the pennies together. And then we use it to purchase anything that we like at, you know, during this festive period. So that was my initial mindset. I didn't know what it was, but now I knew that it's piggy bank and it is savings. So putting money together has always been something that I have learned right from my childhood.
Yeah. I think playful as that is, as playful as it may look, there's something important that is teaching the child to save. You know, that act is actually teaching the child to set something aside. You know, so it's really good for children to inculcate that, you know, as growing up.
Yes, thank you for that. And then another question I want to ask, what will make people have negative mindset about money? What do you think, based on your, professional, dealings with people, what will make them have negative mindsets about money, and how can they change those negative mindsets?
So I can think of two things quickly. One is ignorance. Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. So when you don't know, you don't know. So they might think that they are, doing the right thing or having the best, doing the best thing that they can do, but they are ignorant of the fact that they can save, and they are ignorant of how they can achieve that. So they might think that what they have is too little. There is so much that they are battling with, so they don't really have a means of saving. So that's ignorance to start with. So the other thing that could make people have a wrong mindset that I can think of easily is experience that they had over time. So maybe something they've learned from childhood, maybe an encounter that they had that was negative, could now close them up. So for instance, they might save something and maybe all their savings got lost. Maybe somebody stole it at the end of the day. Maybe they put money on the wrong investment and it was 419, it was a scam, So they've gone through an ugly experience, or they've had other people talk about ugly experiences that they've had. So they don't see much gain. They've not seen the positive side to it. So those things help them close out. So that's what I can think of. So one, you're ignorant. Two, your experiences have made you have a negative mindset about money.
Yeah, I'm talking about experiences, I recall a few years back, people made a lot of investments in the stock exchange, and there was a bust at a point where almost all the prices crashed, and some people lost a lot of money. And when you tell them to go back to the stock exchange again, they'll tell you, no, I don't want to ever do that. That is like really one of the negative experiences that people will have, and will make them to have that mindset of not going back again to try. But then when you fail, you are learning, because it will help you to do something better, really. So as negative experiences really do make people have negative mindsets, but then you have to have that mindset that you can overcome it and go back, because definitely it's only when you fail that you can succeed. What do you think about that?
And that is called failing forward. So if you fail at something and then you try again and then you try again. So for instance, the guy that invented light, we were told he tried, several, many. If he had given up completely, maybe we won't be where we are, but he kept trying. He kept trying on. So for us to have that culture of savings, of investments, we need to be resilient. We need to be able to persevere. We need to keep trying. We need to get the education, so, and that would help us to navigate.
Thank you very much. Okay, so what are the positive mindsets that people should have about money, and how important is it for you to have a positive mindset?
Okay, having a positive mindset is absolutely important. Even the Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Having that mindset helps you to now, navigate in a better way. You are proactive, you are able to plan, you anticipate your income, you plan for it before it comes, you schedule it, you budget, and you avoid a lot of waste. You are intentional. It's about being intentional about your money, So, and that's a positive mindset. A positive mindset is the mindset that feels that I can grow my income. There are things under my control that would help me grow my income. That's the positive mindset. And then that helps you to spell it out, go out and get to the detailed work of what you are able to do. A positive mindset helps you to gain education, financial literacy is very important, but once you don't have the right mindset, you don't get that literacy. But if you have positive mindset, you tell yourself that I'm in control of my money. My money is not in control of me. I can learn how to manage my money. You know, I can spend wisely. I can increase my income. I can grow my wealth over time. Then you educate yourself how to grow your income over time. A positive mindset would help you to try out things. Save investments. You've looked at the pros and cons. You decide to, you know, manage your risk. Start maybe with a moderate amount of money. Grow that over time. A positive mindset helps you to grow it consistently. So you're setting something aside. It's not one-off. It becomes habitual. You keep doing it over time, and you keep watching your money grow. You know the difference between, okay, maybe it's mutual funds you are doing, maybe it's fixed income, maybe whatever it is you are doing, maybe it's bonds, maybe whatever. You find out what those things mean, and you find out how, you know, what are the entry levels, how do I go in, what are the risks I'm facing, how can I do it. Gradually, you begin to learn and learn and learn, and you don't need to be a finance person, you know, to be able to, you know, navigate through all those, you know. So that's what a positive mindset would do for you.
Thank you very much. I can just name a lot of nuggets that you have just thrown at us. We talked about being proactive with her income, being intentional. I mean, I really love that, because if you're not intentional, if you don't take deliberate steps to ensure that you change your mindset, it will be difficult for you to achieve success when it comes to managing your emotions with respect to money. Thank you very much, Bumi, for those powerful nuggets that you have given to us. And now I just want to ask you something else. You talked about some habits. Can you give us some habits that my listeners can imbibe with respect to money mindsets, to actually cultivate healthy money mindsets? What are some habits that you would suggest?
Okay. The first thing I would say is educate yourself. Learn more, you know, about money management. Read, you know, and that would help you. Then it's good for you to have a budget. And a budget is you telling your money where you want your money to go, rather than wondering where it went. Yeah. And that's a quote, by the way, credited to John Maxwell, Dave Ramsey, that a budget is you telling your money where it's going. Rather than you where it went. If you don't have a budget and you are not planning at all, you end this minute and give it the next few days, it's gone. If you are not deliberate about locking it down in terms of setting something aside, allocating to your regular monthly expenses, and then what is left of that, you are holding it into like savings. Savings is just a temporary storage. That's what I call it. It's not where it stays forever. Because if you put your money in savings, it's not necessarily increasing, you know, the way you want it to increase until you move what you have in savings to investment. So you are only leaving a minimal amount in savings that I would call a buffer fund, you know, something just for emergencies or so is what I would leave in savings. But I put my money in savings as a transit place to go into an investment. So you need to be doing that on a regular basis. Then cut off all buying on impulse. Don't buy something on impulse. If you need to buy anything, you are asking yourself a few questions. Do I really need it? Is it a need or just a want? Can I do without it? What value is it adding? Am I getting it at the right price? Can I defer it to later? Or is it something I need absolutely now? So ask yourself all those rational questions before you decide to buy. So if I see something that I really like, I won't jump to buy it, except it's something that I've had in mind. Maybe I've been thinking about it. I need this. Then I see there's a window of opportunity I can buy. You know, so if you are doing that, you will find out that you're not flippant about your money. You are deliberate. You know where that money is going. You have planned what you need to do within the month. So if they suddenly bring one sudden thing, it's not that you could actually even have a budget for, you know, support, because we know particularly in African environment, you are supporting one person or the other. It's good to support, but you can have a cap to that. So if you've exceeded that, it's something you can roll over to another month. So just organized in terms of how you manage your finances is what you should start doing. So get the education, have a budget, cut off impulse buying. One other thing that I can say that I found useful is insurance. And why am I bringing in insurance? You know, so what does insurance do? It gives you a cover in event of maybe a negative eventuality, a negative occurrence, something that might happen. Because sometimes that happens and then is a big dent on your purse that you didn't plan for at all. So, for instance, for your motor vehicle, insurance is compulsory. But if instead of a third party, you have comprehensive, that might be expensive, but it's good. So just in case that there's an accident, you are, you know, your mind is at rest that something covers that risk. You don't necessarily have to pull out $2 million that you didn't plan for because you want to get back. You know, so that helps, is a kind of financial management tool. It helps you. And that's just motor vehicle. There are other ways. You can have education, insurance. You can insure your house, your property, or whatever. And that's not so common, particularly in the country where we are. But you need to have if you
can have this thing.
So these are, you know, quick I can think offhand immediately.
Thank you so much, Bumi, for those wonderful tools that you have suggested for us. Insurance, I never really thought about that because people shy away from insurance. You only do it because it is mandatory. I mean, it's a legal requirement for you to insure your vehicle. But really, you have said it now, you can insure your house. You can insure anything just in case the unplanned happen, you will have a cover. Thank you very much. You also mentioned cutting off impulse buying. Somebody asked me, Joy, on a scale of 1 to 10, will you splurge on an expensive item on yourself? I said, I would say 5, because if it is not in my budget, I would have planned for it. It would be difficult for me to spend it. Though at times it's good for you to indulge, but really when you need to spend something out of your normal, make sure that you have planned for it so that you don't start spending and then you lose track of your income and your expenses. And you talked about asking yourself rational questions. Oh, really very important, rational questions. Thank you so much for those wonderful nuggets. Ladies and gentlemen, my listeners, we've had such a wonderful time with Bumi Ojomo, who has educated us on money mindsets, both the positive mindset, which we should have, and the negative mindset, which we should do away with. Thank you very much, Bumi, for chatting with us today. And where can my listeners find you so that we can interact and communicate with you more on this particular issue of money mindset?
Great. So on LinkedIn and on Facebook, I'm Bumi Ojomo. Bumi Ojomo, just my name as is. On Instagram, I'm Coach Bumi.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. It's been a wonderful time with you. I've learned so much on money mindset talking with you today. I hope that you will join my podcast next time so that we can talk more about it. Thank you very much. So, thank you, my listeners, my amazing audience, it's been a wonderful time talking to Bumi. Please link up with her on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn, where we can chat more on this very crucial topic. Thank you very much for listening to me. This is the Good Life Podcast with Princess Joy. Thank you for watching and see you next time. Bye.
And thank you for having me. Bye.
Bye.